These are huge films. The books were absolutely riveting. Of course, the franchise stars Jennifer Lawrence as Katniss Everdeen. For people who haven't followed the saga of the Hunger Games, it's a dystopian future where young people are forced to fight to the death for the entertainment of the masses. But there are some deep philosophical themes and questions that are posed in these books and in these films, and you've been exploring that.
Yeah, you know, I thought it would be fun to talk about, because there's kind of the obvious, and then there's something underneath it that comments pretty deeply on us as a people that we may not really want to admit. And so I thought this would be an interesting thing to talk about. Katniss is, of course, someone that I think many of us empathize with in a sense, right? So you have this hero who's being forced to fight in these games. And what do we empathize with her? Well, the fact is she's working class, right? It's easy to see this story. What you have is these people in the Capitol want this entertainment, these Hunger Games, where they watch. It's a form of kind of radical reality TV.
And they're called the Hunger Games because the person from the winning district, they get more food.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
It's
right.
Just absolutely brutal.
Yeah, so it's pretty terrible in that regard. It's like, I guess, Jersey Shore on steroids, right? And so what ends up happening is I think we're very empathetic for her, because what we see is we see these people who are watching the Hunger Games in the Capitol, and these people are deeply invested in their fashions, and they have everything that they could possibly want. As a matter of fact, they have so much food that they will regularly make themselves throw up so then that they can eat more food.
Right.
Right.
So income inequality is a big theme in this series.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And so we kind of look at it, I think the tendency is to see the films or to read the books and go, oh, wow, you know, Katniss is kind of like me. We're working class schmucks. Right. And then these people in the Capitol, they're kind of like the Paris Hiltons of the world. But I actually think that what Collins, the author, is saying is something that many of us would be kind of maybe even a little offended to hear, which is, so think about it like this, right? So here in the U.S., right, we throw out 200,000 tons of edible food daily, mm-hmm. right? The average individual daily consumption of water is 100 gallons, while the developing world lives on 5 gallons, mm-hmm. right? We constitute less than 5% of the world's population, but consume 26% of the world's energy. Here's a good example. You remember Foxconn, right? And all the stuff that went down
in
with that.
China, the Apple factory in China.
Right.
And it figured into the 2012 presidential campaign.
Right, yeah. And where the working conditions were so poor there that the people were actually trying to kill themselves by jumping out of the building, right? And the solution that Foxconn came up with to reduce this was to put out nets to catch them. And we have a tendency to look at it and go, oh, well, you know, but the dollar carries farther over there. So even though they get paid really poorly, it's okay. But there's an interesting quote. CNN said the following about it. These workers want enough cash to pay for food and rent and send a bit home for relatives who have even less money. It's fair to say that most of them, the only time they'll ever hold an iPhone 5, which is what they're helping make, is when they're putting one together. In other words, what you start to realize is that there's a way of looking at it where you go, wow, the rest of the world kind of works so that we can have
more stuff.
Yeah. Right. And that's even amongst our middle class. So like I'm a pretty good example of this. I would be seen as like lower class here in the States. Right. Like I rent. I don't own. So for like my homeowners association, I'm kind of bottom of the barrel. Right. But if you were to look at my home that I rent, which again would be considered small by American standards, it's larger than most schools in many developing countries around the world, right? Most people around the world would consider what I have and what I pay for rent absolutely obscene. So what I'm suggesting is that the Hunger Games isn't reflecting on a class difference here in the U.S. between our like middle class working people and the rich. It's actually reflecting on the U.S. as being a place where the rest of the world works so that we can have more stuff.
And in this country, though, I don't think most Americans see themselves that way.
Right, which is, why we would be a little kind of offended by it. But it gets even more interesting, because the place that Katniss lives, the country that they live in, is called Panem. And when they ask Collins why it was called that, it's because it's a reference to a poem, to a Roman poem by a guy named Juvenal, who basically wrote that as long as people had bread and circuses, Panem being bread. As long as people had bread and circuses, you could take away any of their civil rights and they would let it happen. You could do pretty much whatever you wanted to them. As long as they were entertained and fed, they would be content. And so what you wonder is well, is this a story about a populace in the capital that, if you look at them, even though they have all of this wealth, they have all of this stuff, they can kind of do whatever they want financially, they have virtually no civil rights. They exist in as much of a tyranny as the rest of the populace does, but they don't notice because they're the ones being entertained by things like the Hunger Games and because they have enough food. And so you think about it, well, in our case, well, we have an awful lot of stuff. We're really, really entertained. Is it possible that we are also similarly not noticing when we lose our civil rights? And then you think about, well, maybe that explains why we're taking this NSA thing so really well. Like, because if you think about it, there's some people are kind of like up in arms about it, but we're pretty calm about that. You know, we haven't all risen up as one and decided, well, that has to change.
But do you think that the films and the books are popular at a subconscious level because people do identify and they do connect with the themes you're talking about?
Well, that would be great. I would love that. I wonder, though, we have a tendency to not like blame. And I think that first step of going, part of the theme here is that we're blameworthy for kind of taking advantage of the rest of the world that feeds us and gives us resources, and then they're not ever able to really have those things. They have much less of it. And I think most of us would be kind of immediately offended by like, no, I work for my stuff. I'm not taking advantage of anyone. Thank you very much, Mr. Philosopher. So I think that's the most difficult step for any of us. And that's what we don't want to see in the Hunger Games, is the possibility that we're the capital, that we're the bad guys. And it's the rest of the world that are the districts that are trying to like suffer our tyranny, trying to overcome it, perhaps.
Always interesting to speak with you. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Nick Michaud is an author and philosophy instructor in Jacksonville. Catching Fire, the second installment of The Hunger Games, opens this weekend.